You're it. Quitsies!
Any quitsies? You're it, quitsies. No, any quitsies, no startsies.
You can't do that.
Can't do?
Cannot. Stamped it.
Can't do. Double stamped it. No erases.
Cannot. Triple stamped it. No erases. Touch
no,
blue,
no,
make it
no,
true.
No. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lord. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lord!
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Saddle up, partner.
This is a Manhattan bound one train.
Welcome!
Tim, you okay over there?
I swallowed the wrong way. You might want to take that again.
No, I'm just going to keep going. They don't know that wasn't planned.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they always say in theater. You know what they say? Just keep going. The audience doesn't know it's not part of the show.
Yeah, they fucking do.
Okay, I'm just going to restart.
Welcome! Welcome one and everyone!
As you may have deduced by now, this is the Nobody's in New York podcast. Presented by the Brothers Stew, it's a podcast about the lifetimes, trials, and tribulations of life and the Big Apple Baby.
That's showbiz, kid!
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. I feel good about that. Did you say best of the best?
I did not.
The best of the best.
The best of the best.
I feel like we're really starting the show off on the right foot here with that much bravado.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I have kind of a high-pitched and pingy and annoying voice, and it's kind of fun for me sometimes to be able to just go, hey-ah! You know what I mean?
Hey-ah.
I am your pooped-out brother, Alex Stewart.
And I'm your pooped-in brother, Tim Stewart. No, I guess that it doesn't always have to be contrary to what you say. I'm also tired but trying, your brother, Tim Stewart.
Oh, I heard that. Jesus. What?
Speaking of being pooped in, everybody always has a little poop in them.
Should I cut that? I don't know.
We'll see.
Another
ramblings. Mostly food. Food and poop. And musical theater.
We're sitting here. I'm in my apartment here. Tim's in Sacramento. We have our roommate, Mr. Aaron Craven, with us today.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Aaron, it's nice to have you. This is sort of a last-minute thing. We aren't going to be doing guests every single week anymore for the show because it's just too much to keep up with. We'll keep doing interviews, but Aaron just happened to be sitting here on the couch.
They went with the next best thing.
Yeah. What do you call him, Tim?
Our little silver medal.
So afterthought Aaron, that's what he is.
I love it.
Afterthought,
that's a good one,
Aaron.
Too.
Thank you very much. I just made that up.
Let's, before we do anything else, read the pickup line.
Let's pick up the show with our pickup line, presented by Mr. Basilton Grundlebucket.
What number is
scary.
It? Start with the number.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Yeah, this is number 489.
Excuse me. If you were ice cream and I were hot chocolate, I'd pour all me love onto you.
Pour all of my love onto you.
Let's unpack it. If you were ice cream.
Let's unpack this fudge.
If you were ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it like Christian Arteaga.
Okay, wait. I'm getting into character. Okay? I have my hands above my head. I am an ice cream cone.
Yeah, I was going to say, your hand shape is very a la Deanna Morales from A Chorus Line.
Ice cream cone. Deep pull.
If you were an ice cream cone and I was chocolate, I'd pour all my love onto you. Now that doesn't make any fucking sense. Because chocolate doesn't pour its love onto ice cream. You pour chocolate onto ice cream.
Yeah, that's true.
So if my love was chocolate and you were ice cream, I would pour all of my love onto you because then you'd be tastier.
If you were ice cream and I were hot chocolate, here's another problem that I'd like to submit. Hot chocolate, that would melt the ice cream.
It doesn't say hot chocolate.
Yeah. It says, if you were ice cream and I were hot chocolate, I'd pour my love onto you.
Oh, I didn't hear the hot part. That sounds... Yeah, I don't understand that.
Sounds
then.
Like he's interested in a toxic relationship.
This is flawed. Wait,
yeah, this one doesn't
love,
make any fucking
sense. If your love
sense.
Is the chocolate, what's the nuts?
Have people been pouring hot chocolate onto ice cream? Is that a thing that I didn't know about?
I guess we'll have to try it at an intermission at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's a good idea. It just seems like it would end up really soupy. But...
Okay, thought train. This is my thought train. Welcome to the first episode of Tim's Thought Train. So hot chocolate, Mexican hot chocolate, super fucking delicious. Sometimes it's got a little spice to it, which led me to think about jalapeno M&Ms, which is a thing now. I got to try it.
What?
Okay. Wow, that really was a thought train.
Yeah.
jalapeno M&Ms? What?
Yeah, there's like a hint of jalapeno. A hint of jalapeno.
Oh, that doesn't sound good to me. Well, I guess people do. No, that's a thing, I guess. Jalapenos and chocolate. I've heard of that.
I've had spicy chocolate before. Yeah. It was good.
Dude, spice and chocolate go real good together. Real good.
So maybe this should have been, if you were a bowl of spices and I were chocolate, I would pour my love onto you. That would have made sense.
Yeah, and together we'd be a mole.
We'll send a letter.
How has your week been, man?
My week was good. I have been running a lot still. I have passed a difficult spot for myself to break through in my weight loss journey. So I feel really good about that. I busted through a plateau. It's really hard for me to get under 180. My body naturally likes to sit between 180 and 185.
I'm sorry, Tim. Aaron, can you control yourself?
I'm sorry.
Aaron's playing footsie with me.
It was hard not to, and you did start it, even if it was by accident.
Tim, you have the floor.
I finally busted back down into the 170s, and it feels great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. And
dude, you're light as fuck.
I'm light as fuck? Well, I don't have any muscle. I don't have any muscle to weigh me down.
Oh, I am light as fuck these days. How did we start saying that? How did that become a thing that something was...
Anything as fuck.
Yeah.
I don't
like,
know.
What is fuck?
I think as hell came first.
Yeah.
It's hot as hell. Spice. It's dark as hell. It's, you know... All those, and then...
Hot. But what do we think that hell is? I thought there was fire. I thought it would be bright.
It had to have been hot as hell, must have been the very first one, right?
Because now it's developed into, blank as balls.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you're not right. You're not wrong. You're not Ryan? Why would I say that?
Because you were going to say lion.
I was, and I was saying you were right at the same time. I had a Katie Heron. Yeah.
Cruel.
Also, I went to one of the most delicious burger places ever, and you want to hear the fucking twist, Alex?
What's the twist?
All plant-based. Everything. The fries, even. Well, fries are usually plant-based. But the fries, the milkshakes, the not only the single patties, the double patties, the cheeseburgers, the bacon cheeseburgers, the chicken burgers, the bacon chicken burgers. And when I say chicken, that's CHK'N.
Well, of course. Because it's plant-based.
Yeah, really.
Silly with them. Silly with plants.
How else do you spell it?
Really?
What? How else do you spell it?
C-H-I-C-K-E. Oh. You're trolling me. Oh, you're trolling me.
He's from the Midwest.
Really delicious. They use the Beyond Meat, and it's really good. It's got a great texture. It doesn't taste like you're eating a veggie burger. But it's all plant-based, too. It's not a bunch of chemicals. It's not... A ton of soy. I mean, I know soy is plant based, but you know what it is. The cheese.
Now, what is the cheese? What kind of cheese is it?
I'm
How
not
do
sure.
That? That's always soy.
I should have checked. I did not check.
Is it nut cheese? It could be nut
it
cheese.
May,
so you need to check on that.
It may be a nut cheese. I usually. It might be a nut cheese.
Aaron just gave me the biggest stank face at the thought of nut cheese.
Yeah, not cheese scraped from a nut. I got it. If you were a vegan patty, I would nut my cheese on you.
What's the place called?
It's called Burger Patch, and which is cute because it's like a garden theme. Really good, reasonably priced. Not as cheap as like In-N-Out, but not much more expensive. I think my burger was like $8.
Oh, hot.
Yeah. The cheese was really good, though. I usually hate vegan cheese. Like, I'd rather not have any... Not have a... anything at all than like a cheese substitute. But this was really good. It melted really well. It tasted like cheddar or American or whatever it was supposed to be. I don't know. It was, I ate it so fast. And then they also have their own spread on it, which is good. All their sodas are all natural too. Sweetened with stevia instead of sugar. So it just was, it was all great. Highly recommend Patch Burger on K Street in Sacramento. If you're ever there, Sacramento people listening, go. It just opened like a few days ago. If you're listening to this podcast a week and a few days ago, and, the line has been wrapped around the building.
I tell you what, I experimented with being vegan. Now I'm obviously no longer vegan, as everybody who listens to the show well knows. But when you first wanted me to go to that vegan place in New York, Peace Food Cafe, I was like, I don't want that. And my mind was blown. The thing that was cool about being vegan for a little while was that it really opened my mind to a lot of shit that I didn't realize that I liked. There was a lot of food I didn't realize I liked.
Just because you're not strictly vegan doesn't mean you can't eat like a plant-based burger from time to time. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, there's more than one way to skin a plant, you know?
Yes.
I just felt like I should keep that vegan.
Yeah.
That being the theme. Do you want to know how my week was?
I do.
My week was really good. I did a thing. I've been working my ass off. Like, I can't remember if I mentioned this on the last episode. I think I did. I sent an email to my agent a few weeks ago, and I was like, hey, I'm just letting you know I'm booked for the summer. I mean, they know I'm booked for the summer. I'm saying, because I'm booked for the summer, I just want to let you know I need to take a break from auditions. I need to, like, that's not going to be my number one priority right now. My number one priority is working and just making money. And my agent's great and understood that and listened. And I actually have been to a couple of auditions. They still submit me for stuff. But it's been really nice to do that. Like, it's made me feel like I have some say in my career, you know, to kind of just be able to say, you know what, thank you for submitting me for that audition. I have to work that day. And I don't think I'm really interested in doing that show anyway, so I'm going to have to pass on that one. It's actually made me feel like I have some say in my career, and it's also given me peace in knowing that I'm doing everything I can to get on my feet financially. And yeah, that's been really cool. So I've been working like crazy. I just worked like 3 12-hour shifts in a row.
Wow. I love that. That's great.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's a cool thing to bring up because I feel like as actors, we're always really hesitant to do that, to say, no, I'm not going to go in for that. I can't do that. But I did the math. In the past 2 weeks, if I went to every audition that my agent had submitted me for, it would have cost me $650 in shifts at work.
Yeah. Yeah, those 12-hour ones make a lot of money.
Yeah, and I would have had to turn them down.
You know what you have to do, though? You have to take a third of what you make from that and put it in a savings account and don't touch it because tax season comes around and those 1099, they're going to kill you.
Oh, you know what? Good news, though. I work for only one company that has me on a 1099, and they just switched me to a W-2. I asked them to, so thank God for that. And real fast, Aaron, you had an audition today, didn't you?
I surely did, Alex.
And you had your post-audition snack, right?
Yes, indeed. I went to... I was by, like, Columbus Circle. It's called... it was, like, the Flame Diner, which sounds very romantic. It is not. But I...
Oh, I've walked by that place on the way to get my haircut.
I don't think anything that ends with the word diner sounds romantic, but okay.
Maybe if you just call it Flame.
Yeah. Oh, well, that sounds like a gay bar, which sounds fun.
You're right. Romantic for the fellas.
Yeah.
But I had a chocolate milkshake, and it was well-deserved, and I had me one.
I love a post-audition treat.
I have one every day, and honestly, it's probably a little too much. I should probably...
probably cut back?
Yeah, I should get the smaller version of whatever it is, but I do not.
I don't know. I'm drinking a Trenta iced coffee right now, so I have no...
What is it?
A Trenta? You never heard of a Trenta iced coffee?
What the hell is a Trenta? Trenta?
Trenta. Yeah, it's a Trenta iced coffee. It's 30...
It's bigger than a venti.
A venti's 20, Trenta's 30. 30 ounces.
I did not even know there was a bigger size.
Yeah, I'm not going to sleep for 3 days.
Oh my God, and you're a little guy.
What did you just say?
Never mind.
Tim, did you hear what he just said?
Yeah, he said you're a little guy.
I didn't, no.
You just going to let him talk to me like that?
What am I going
to
do, hit him? hey, don't pick on my little brother. He'll tell you what to do in a way that'll make you feel like an idiot.
Okay, now I'm feeling very attacked.
Okay, you know what's funny?
So I'm short and bossy, apparently.
The other day I was joking in the dressing room. I was working on today's post last night. And that because I knew I was going to be busy today and I didn't want to screw it up. And I have to do it
for
the
Instagram.
Yeah, and I have to do it when I leave the house because for some reason, half the time I try to do it from home, it doesn't post. Anyway, so I was planning it out and somebody was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I got to get this Instagram post ready or else my boss will get mad at me. And he was like, don't you do the show with your brother? And I was like, that's what I said.
Hey, man. Hey.
Hey.
Together, we can make a post every day. I think it really helps the show. I mean, it's the best free advertising we can get, and it's the only way that we can tell everybody, hey, this is out. And I think it kind of gives them an idea of like our sense of humor on the show. I think it's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Which reminds me, you guys keep sending me listener submissions. I love it. Pictures you see around New York, or interesting foods, funny foods, weird things you see. Just like send us pictures through the Instagram, and I'll post it.
Yeah.
Is there anything off limits?
No. No.
Okay. You heard it here, folks.
Literally nothing. We might not share it, but you can send it.
Yep.
I'm kind of intrigued. Surprise me, you guys. Hey, speaking of which, do you want to move on to shout-outs?
Yes, let's spout them out.
All righty. Some shout-outs. We have Mr. Corey Betts, good friend of ours, Corey Betts, who dances for Eugene Ballet in Oregon, wrote, I've been catching up on your podcast. Dude, it's so good, and I can't tell you how much I love being able to turn you guys on while I work out / do chores. Ha ha. I'm on episode 5, and he also shared us on Facebook.
That's so nice.
Thanks, Corey.
Corey has always turned me on.
Corey's
going to be
doing newsies with you. Corey's a very sexy man.
He's doing newsies with me. We're rehearsing it right now. I wonder how it's going.
That's right, you are. So shout out to Corey. Spencer Riley Hamilton, he sent me some information two episodes ago, I believe. We talked about schmaltz with our buddy Howie K, mm-hmm. which is chicken fat. And Spencer sent me this. So this is from the quote, fat chapter from the book Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat by Chef Samin Nosrat. Jesus.
There's also a Netflix mini series.
Is it with the same guy?
Yeah, it's called the same thing, too.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you seem to know what I'm talking about better than I do. So here's the entry. Chicken, duck, and goose. Fat. These fats are only used in their liquid forms as cooking media. Schmaltz, or rendered chicken fat, is a traditional ingredient in the Jewish kitchen. I love sizzling rice in it to lend it some chickeny flavor. Mm. Save duck or goose fat that renders when roasting a bird, strain it, and use it to fry potatoes or root vegetables. Few things are tastier than potatoes fried in duck fat. Potatoes being potatoes.
Yes, tubers.
So yeah, that sounds really good. Thanks for that, Spencer. What do you got, Tim?
Melissa Brouse shared us again. Big fan of the show. Glad to hear it. Glad she likes it. My friend Devin Weiser, who randomly used to work in New York with Alex Ringler.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, they worked at...
Shout outs.
They worked together at, I can't remember what it was called, the distillery, maybe?
Oh, distillery?
Maybe that's where it was. But yeah, they knew each other before I knew either of them. Funny enough. She texted me and said... She just started, and she started from the beginning, and she said one of her favorite lines she's ever heard is, you learn something new every day when you're stupid.
I have a new one that I want to start using, speaking of which, a new saying like that. Hanging out with my friends, the La Rivieres, they started this thing where when you talk about something that you like or that's good, you say this. Oh my gosh, that is such a cute dog. Sure would be a shame. But you have to say it in like
how
a fat
haunting.
Kid voice. Yeah, yeah. It's like oddly threatening.
Yeah.
So now, like, we'll say after anything, we say it like Julius in the fat kid voice. Oh my gosh, this dinner is so good. Can you not sip your tea right into the microphone,
sure,
Aaron?
Is that very audible?
Jesus.
It's hot. I can't just drink it.
I was giving Edgar, our other roommate, shit the other day because he was sitting on the couch 20 minutes into drinking his cup of coffee, still slurping it. I was like, Edgar, you need to stop slurping your coffee right now. I know it's not that hot still. Quit being so fucking dramatic.
Let me get you an ice cube, you son of a bitch.
Or a straw. So anyway, the example. So we also have this voice that we use of Julius, who's like a fat 12-year-old kid that we made up.
And he started talking like this.
And so you would say, oh my gosh, this tea is so good.
Sure would be a shame.
So that's my new saying that I want to do.
I like that. I got,
it's a funny joke.
I got a bunch of patches of different food items that I'm going to attach to my denim vest, and I'm going to make a fatty, fatty, no friends denim vest.
Oh, I love that idea. That's such a good idea.
Yeah. Sure would be a shame.
Ah, spot on, spot on. Our last share, do you have any other shares?
Yeah, good old Sarah Spillard always shares us, and we always appreciate it. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. I'm sorry, Sarah Donahue.
Oh, yeah, she's a married woman now.
Mm-hmm.
Sure would be a shame.
Yeah, that'll catch on nicely.
I love that. I love that. And actually, speaking of Alex Ringler, he did text us today because he's finally been catching up on the episodes. And he said, catching up, I'm in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Great. Great.
So, as we've mentioned, our producer Alex Ringler is not with us because he's doing Chorus Line in South Carolina. But we couldn't remember where. I couldn't remember if it was South Carolina or just Carolina.
There is no just Carolina.
In my mind, there is.
No, there isn't. There's North Carolina and South Carolina.
Yeah, and then there's Carolina.
No, there isn't.
The song goes, in my mind, I'm going to Carolina. He doesn't specify. And Aaron just gave us a share on his Instagram, so thanks, Aaron. He's kind of milling about the apartment.
Yeah.
I want to say, I think it's pretty cool that Aaron shared us, considering the fact that he just started listening to the podcast, a few weeks ago?
Yeah, that sounds about accurate.
Yeah, took him some time. Have you listened to any of the episodes where we give you shit for not listening?
Yes, I have. Thank you very much.
I never thought you'd hear it.
Yeah, I kind of banked on that.
Yeah.
I believe there was a pool. Was there money involved?
Speaking of people who don't listen to the podcast, my friend Ian has not listened to it still, even though I've been telling him about it for months, because he's very loyal to a podcast right now. It's a D&D podcast because he's a fucking nerd. And each episode of that is like 4 hours long because it's like you listen to, like, so, you know, they're playing a D&D quest or whatever they're called. And so I guess that takes up all his time. So I forced him and my friend Pano to listen to a few certain clips from the show to win them over.
Yeah. And what did they say?
They laughed. I watched them laugh. We need to post more audio clips. We've done it twice. But we need to post more audio clips to share.
The problem is that if it's just the audio clip and the Nobody's in New York emblem, nobody listens to it. They just think it's a picture of the sign of our logo.
Another thing you have to worry about is the content.
Why don't you go clown around somewhere else? Okay. Why don't you get out of here?
I'm just going to slurp my tea quietly.
What, Tim?
I didn't say anything.
Ugh. No, you were saying. Oh no, you were about to say when we're together in person.
Oh, when we're together,
and that's
when we're together in person, we can do video.
Yeah,
and then we can post that. Yeah.
So follow us on Instagram, where Nobody's in NY. Give us a shout out. Give us a share. Text us. Write to us. On Facebook, we are Nobody's in New York. Spelled out. And you can email us, which nobody ever does, at nobodysinnypodcast@gmail.com. Oh, and we got to give a shout out to the Onstage Blog Network, which we are proudly a part of.
Proudly.
Onstage Blog. All right, let's move on. We record this show in segments. Like, we do it, like, we'll do, like, a clip, and then we'll stop, and then we'll record the next clip, and then I piece them all together at the end of the week. I think people should know that, because I just want to say the amount of time that you waste walking through the house every time we record to get up, go to the bathroom, get a drink, fucking get a towel to lay down because your legs are sweaty.
No.
It's like its own podcast.
I'm wearing shorts running shorts, and so my legs are sticking to the wood. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, I was uncomfortable when you sat there and made us watch you pee a second ago between recordings.
You maintained eye contact.
Well, I ain't no sissy.
Speaking of peeing, I'm drinking a gin and tonic by Cutwater Spirits.
Okay. It's a canned gin and tonic?
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Dangerous.
Speaking of peeing, control. I've been in the
if. Oh, there's more. I thought that was it.
What?
No, the drink. This is actually the main portion of the podcast.
This is the main portion of the pee subject. Sorry. I thought it was just going to be the drink.
Speaking of peeing, I have been in the if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down state of mind lately because I'm in the men's equity dressing room as the junior equity member or senior non-equity member, depending on how you look at it. And we can't flush the toilet in our bathroom because you'll hear it out in the house. So during the show, you can pee in there, but you just got to let it mellow until intermission.
And this is frustrating your roommates, as I understand it, at home.
Oh, yeah. Carly just was like, flush the toilet. But also, I'm so hydrated right now. I don't even know how she knew there was pee in there. It was so clear.
Probably because you use toilet paper regardless.
Well, you gotta dab the little end.
Just a little dab. A little dab will do ya.
You end up with a little nickel-sized wet spot on your undies.
Yep. No matter how you shake and dance, last few drops get on your pants.
Okay, one more pee rhyme, okay? If I sprinkle when I tinkle, I'm a sweetie and wipe the seedy.
Also, while we're stopped, I just want to go on record and say that these bold wasabi and soy sauce blue diamond almonds are the best ones.
I don't really like wasabi.
Neither do I, but these almonds are fucking good. The first time I had them was at Aunt Cynthia's house, and they were so good.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. I remember when we had that. I want to do Long Enough.
Well, Long Enough.
Long Enough! Our segment of the show that's about shit that's gone on. Long enough.
Enough! Silence! I can't take this shit no more.
We haven't done Long Enough in a while, have we?
No, and you know what? That's been long enough.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about... This was a subject when I was... my friend Devin Anderson, who we've had on the show. This came up the other day when we were working with each other, and I thought this would be a really good subject, and you've brought this up to me before, Tim, too.
Yeah.
We wanted to talk about this. Big leaguing. When somebody big leagues you.
Ugh.
Now, when somebody big leagues you, what that is that is when they are, maybe they're on Broadway or they found some sort of success and they are now too cool for you.
Yeah. And they don't even have to be on Broadway or in any way cooler than you, but they somehow just do it anyway.
No, well, they're not cooler than you. That's the whole thing because we're all fucking human beings.
And if you were really cool, you wouldn't big league your friends or people that you know.
So this happened to me recently. I have a friend who I will obviously not name and actually is not really my friend. But this person is working on Broadway and I will not say. But
so now I don't get to know the full story.
I'll fucking tell you when we're done recording, okay? This is a podcast, okay? I'm not going to broadcast. I'm not going to call his or her shit out in front of everybody. Well, I am. I'm just not going to say their name.
Be an anonymous shit.
Yeah.
They'll know who they are.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they don't listen to the podcast. But I was really excited because I was working at this person's show, and I was like, hey, I'm at the show this week. I would love to see you. Like, I'll be watching, so I would love to, you know, catch up after the show or even just come and say hi. I was there for a full week, and this person was kind of being elusive, but like, yeah, we'll make it happen, we'll make it happen. Well, finally Sunday rolls around, and I say, can't wait to watch you in the show again today. You're doing so awesome. Where can I meet you after the show? Like, would it be best for me to come to the stage or whatever? Just no response. Actually, this person in particular loves to do the options on the phone where you can like love somebody's text message or like laugh at a text message. I fucking hate those because that just is it's just a way for you to not respond.
It's a cop out.
Yeah, it's a cop out. And that's what he or she did, and then just never got back to me. And there have been a couple of other things that have happened with this person, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm done. Like, I'm done. We're not friends.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's so shitty. Especially if it's somebody who you think is a friend.
Yeah, it really hurt my feelings. Like, it really hurt my feelings. I was like, because you know what? My job, doing that job in particular, it's kind of weird anyway, because, like, you know, you're literally watching your friends on Broadway while you pass out headphones to see their show.
Yeah. You're watching them do what you want to be doing.
Right. And I do want to add, by the way, my friend Jake Swain, who is in Mean Girls, also a friend of Aaron's.
Bravo, Jake.
Saw him in Mean Girls, and he came out to the lobby to see me. It was all we had time for, but he came out, gave me a big hug.
Before?
I made a post about it. It was before the second show. It was a double show day. Yeah. So, love you, Jake.
And the people that are, like, actual big deals, like, the thing that you'll notice about them is the thing that makes them, that made people want to put them in those places, mm-hmm. is that they care about people. They're there. They make themselves available. And, like, their friendships are real. Like, they're actually going to take the time and spend it with you. So, I mean, it really kind of separates the wannabes from the actually ours. You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
My friend Gabby will, if she can't get food with me between shows on a double show day. She's in Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, make sure you test
the
sound.
She'll also, respond to my text messages and let me know when she's going on and things.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I wasn't even asking to go get a drink or to go get coffee. I was asking for hardly any time. I just wanted to come see you and stand with you on a Broadway stage and take a picture and just be there with you for a second, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the people who are truly talented and truly successful and, like, comfortable with where they're at are like Robin Herder. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Or like Jenny Foote. Like, these people who we've had on the show who are so, like, just so lovely and human.
They're real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't feel like they have to put anything on.
That's what makes them, in my opinion, makes them compelling artists, is that they're just human beings. And they happen to be very talented, and whatever has happened to put them in a very unique place. But there's just no, honestly, like, even if you're, I don't know, you're incredibly successful, you're on Broadway, whatever you're doing, but you don't, like, people don't connect to you because you don't, like, take the time. I mean, like, what is that worth it?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to be, I will never be like that.
No.
I'll never be that person. Whatever success I find, you know, I don't care if I'm on Broadway, if I have a Tony Award, I don't care what success I find, I will never be that person. I always want to be remembered. You know, like, okay, so take Hugh Jackman for the other day, for example.
Perfect,
for the other
day. Perfect example of this.
Take Hugh Jackman. He is known for being so, well, he's known for being an actor, but people
aside from that,
right. He's not known for his winning personality,
obvious,
but people always say that he's so nice, like, he's so kind and lovely. And when I briefly quote-unquote met him, he was just so sweet. He wasn't worried about people coming up to him and taking pictures. He wasn't worried about any, he was just lovely, you know.
Every single person that I have heard say that they've met him, they've all said that. Everybody.
That's what I want to be like. I want to be like Hugh Jackman in every way.
Yeah, who doesn't?
That's great.
So, I don't know. That just really, really bugged me. And actually, the reason why it came up at work the other day is because a couple of people stopped by that pop-up that I was at who are in another Broadway show. And these two individuals used to work for the company that I was working for. Okay. So these two ladies worked for this company, and they happened to walk up to this pop-up event, and they're now in a Broadway show. And they had made some comments to people outside of the pop-up that were working, like, just, they just couldn't be bothered, like, they were just too cool for us now, you know what I mean? Like, they were, like, what we were doing was so lame and so shitty because we weren't working on Broadway. And I was just like, you are the worst kind of person.
That's what their comments were about? What you were doing was lame?
They made some shitty comment about how they'd rather be on Broadway than doing what we were doing.
Well,
yeah, no
duh.
Shit. Don't you think we all would? But really, it's a much bigger comment on them than it is of you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how shitty of you to belittle me and what I do? I mean, don't you think what I do is necessary?
You know,
don't people need to hear this show as well?
Right.
You really think you're all that because you're the one that's standing on the stage? I mean,
right.
Come on.
It's so shitty.
Well, that's gone on long enough, don't you think?
I would say so, Tim.
Be kind. Don't be a dickhead. It's not that hard.
Oh, I go through my day almost every day not being a dickhead to people.
Almost all day, yeah.
I'm almost never an asshole.
The theater, the theater. What's happened to the theater?
Let's talk about Broadway.
You want to talk about Broadway? Let's talk about Broadway. So I guess, the biggest thing really is the Tony noms. Tony nominations are out.
Yeah, I like how we announced we recorded the last episode, and then the next day the Tony nominations came out.
I know. God damn it.
Right after we had just recorded all of the, like, what was that, the Ovation? What did we do?
We did the Drama Desk.
Drama Desk, that's right.
So here are the Tony nominations that you all probably already know by now, but maybe some of you don't. Okay?
Better late than never.
Yeah. Best Musical, we've got Ain't Too Proud, Beetlejuice, Hadestown, The Prom. I think it's going to be between Hadestown and The Prom. Oh, and Tootsie.
I think it's going to be between Hadestown and Tootsie.
Yeah, maybe it will be between I've heard such good things about both shows.
Tootsie, according to the reviews, is the funniest musical since Book of Mormon. I said it last week, but I want to say it again.
I can't wait to see it. I've heard such good things. Shout out to Jennifer Foote, who we mention every 20 minutes on this podcast. Best Play, Choir Boy, The Ferryman, Gary, a sequel to Titus Andronicus, Ink, and What the Constitution Means to Me. Best Revival of a Musical, Kiss Me, Kate, and Oklahoma. Aren't those the only revivals on Broadway right now?
Currently, but there was also Once on This Island. There was... Oh, no, that was the last Tony's.
Yeah, but that... Yeah.
Revival of a Musical? Kiss Me, Kate, and Oklahoma. Yeah, those, I think, were the only... Hello, Doll. Oh, that was last year. Yeah.
Best Revival of a Play, All My Sons, Boys in the Band, Burn This, Torch Song, and The Waverly Gallery. Best Book of a Musical, Ain't Too Proud, Beetlejuice, Hadestown, The Prom, and Tootsie. That's all the same ones. Oh, no, except for... Yeah. Yeah, it's the same ones. Best Original Score, Beetlejuice, Be More Chill, Hadestown, The Prom, Tootsie, To Kill a Mockingbird. And the Best Direction of the Play, Robert Gould for Ink, Sam Mendes for The Ferryman, Bartlett Sher for To Kill a Mockingbird, Ivo Van Hove for Network. I've heard Network is incredible. That's the one with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
I've had a couple people who have gone and seen it, and they said it's nuts. And then George C. Wolfe, Gary, a sequel to Titus Andronicus. I'm going to skip some of these just for length. Best Leading Actor in a Play, Bryan Cranston for Network. There you go. God, I would kill to see him live. I'm watching Breaking Bad right now, by the way. I tried watching it years ago, and it gave me nightmares. So I stopped, but I've started up again. I guess I've got tougher skin now.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, we're not that far into it yet.
That's true. I'm only episode... Yeah. No, I'm in season 2.
Okay.
I've the bathtub scene in season 1.
Yep, that's real.
Just don't eat while you watch that show. Patty Considine, The Ferryman. Jeff Daniels, To Kill a Mockingbird. Adam Driver, Burn This. Jeremy Pope, Choir Boy. Best Leading Actress in a Play, Annette Bening for All My Sons, Laura Donnelly, The Ferryman, Elaine May, The Waverly Gallery, Janet McTeer,
Bernhardt Hamlet is just what it's called.
Oh, yeah, duh. Laurie Metcalf, Metcalf, sorry, I'm reading too fast, I gotta slow down. Heidi Schreck, What the Constitution Means to Me. Best Leading Actor in a Musical, Brooks Ismanskas for The Prom, Derek Baskin, Ain't Too Proud, Alex Brightman for Beetlejuice, Damon Dono, I think I said that right, for Oklahoma, Santino Fontana for Tootsie, Leading Actress in a Musical, Stephanie J. Block for The Cher Show, Caitlin Kinnunen for The Prom, Beth Lovell for The Prom, God, she's so good in that.
Yep.
Is it Eva or Ava Noblezada, Hadestown? No idea. Kelly O'Hara, Kiss Me, Kate. Let's see. I don't want to do all these. Featured, actor, featured, best scenic design. I'm looking for choreography. Okay. And I just want to do best choreography. Camille A. Brown for Choir Boy. Warren Carlyle for Kiss Me, Kate. Oh, me and Warren, we go way back. I met him a couple weeks ago. One time he told me I have nice double tours.
Oh.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was the worst audition I'd ever had. It was for Hello, Dolly. I completely fucked up the choreography, like royally screwed up the choreography. But then after we were done doing the dance combo, they made us each do a triple pirouette to the left, barrel turns, a kip up, and a double tour.
What the hell?
Yeah, but those all went well for me. Wasn't enough to redeem me from the bullshit that I had presented to them during the dance, though. And when I did my double tour, he said, nice double tour. And then he cut me.
Who else is
Dennis Jones? Dennis Jones for Tootsie, nicest guy ever. David Newman for Hadestown, and Sergio Trujillo for Ain't Too Proud.
Nice. Well, we look forward to watching those Tonys.
Yeah, I'm excited. That's cool. I gotta say, it's really cool, like, having seen a lot of these, when you've actually seen the shows or you walk past them every day in New York City, it's pretty cool when these nominations come out. This is kind of new for me, and this is pretty special.
Yeah, it's fun. It's rare that you get to, like, I mean, it's been rare for me to get to see shows before the actual Tony Awards, but it's cool.
Right, right.
In other news, Jagged Little Pill announces its Broadway dates.
Finally, jeez.
Yeah, so Jagged Little Pill is the jukebox musical adaptation of the Alanis Morissette 1994 chart-topping album, which I personally love.
Yeah, God, we grew up listening to that album.
Yeah, it is going to open, it's going to begin previews on November 3rd, and then it'll open on December 5th at the Broadhurst Theater, formerly Anastasia's home.
Cool, cool, cool.
Full cast.
I look forward to that.
Be announced soon.
I've heard really cool things about that show.
Yeah, me too. My friend Gabby's friend John Cordoza is going to be in that. So, exciting.
Coolness.
In other news, this last little tidbit. Well, I'll say this little thing first. Okay, so Beating the Beast at Paper Mill, which is supposed to be the tryout for a potential Broadway revival of Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
They just announced their cast. The only person I've heard of is Gavin Lee as Lumiere, so that's awesome. But also, my friend Leeds is going to be understudying Gavin, so very awesome.
Oh my gosh. Oh, cool. Congratulations to him. I see him at Leeds Hill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I see him at, like, every audition.
Yeah, he's been working, well, now I'm sure he's able to be like, I'm going to take some time off bartending and be in Paper Mill's show, but he's been bartending at Hadestown.
Didn't he understudy
Alan Cummings?
Yeah, in Cabaret.
In Cabaret, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so this last thing. 1776 Broadway revival confirmed for 2021.
Oh, nice.
The Tony Award-winning best musical, 1776, will return to Broadway in a new 2021 revival production, according to an official announcement this week.
Good stuff. I've never seen it. I don't even know what it's about. Like, it's just some.
It's about our founding fathers. That's really all I know.
Sign it.
To read more on those and other news, check out the onstageblog.com news.
I want to say, add real fast, Patrick Page, who is a PCPA alumni, which is where I went to school, y'all. He was nominated for Best Featured Actor in a Musical.
Oh, awesome.
So congratulations to Patrick Page for his Tony nomination. He graduated from PCPA in 1982.
Is it just me or is Hamilton just a ripoff of 1776?
That's what I'm saying, dude. It's not even that original.
Come on. It's different characters.
Just kidding. I did just see Hamilton and, wow, I loved it.
Do you guys think they ever do 1776 in the West End?
I wonder what I wonder
I have
about
to say,
Hamilton,
I have to
though.
Say, I have to say, because the person who made that joke listens to this podcast. I got that from Ryan Blanning. Good job.
Oh,
Ben.
That's a good joke. Yeah. Shout out to Ryan, to the Bland Man. The other thing I wanted to say was this is just a cool thing that happened the other day when I was at that pop-up. So many things happened at that pop-up. There's a guy that I was working with, Robert, who I've met through this company, this staffing agency I work for, and he's like the nicest dude. And he had missed part of some shifts because he was going to some callbacks. Long story short, his agent called him and said he was in for Frozen. He was in final callbacks for Frozen. And his agent said, well, Frozen's not going to work out because they said that you need to work on your dancing a little more for that track or whatever. But the good news is you booked the first national tour of Once on This Island. So and this is, he got this call like while he was at work.
It's a really nice bittersweet phone call. Emphasis on the sweet.
That's just so the industry.
Yeah, it's a microcosm of what New York is.
Yeah, it really is. So I just wanted to share that. So congratulations to Robert. If you ever hear this episode, that's just so awesome. So cool. He'll be understudying the lead guy. Who's the guy? What's his name?
Which one did he book?
What's on this island? Is the guy who
Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel. That's it.
The way guy.
Daniel. All right. This has been Let's Talk About Broadway. Uh-oh. My stomach's a-growling.
My mouth is watering.
Well, I guess that can only mean one thing.
Time to take a break in the middle of the show for food and peeing.
All right. Let's go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Ah, here we are, the lobby.
What do you think that people did in the olden days when they had to go to the bathroom and they were at a show?
Oh, well, some of the theaters had bathrooms, right? A lot of those Broadway theaters had bathrooms before.
Yeah, but they've in, recent decades have added more bathrooms, especially ladies' bathrooms.
Yeah, I would be interested to know if, like, I don't know, though, because, like, a lot of the theaters that I work at only have one bathroom, and it's not easy to get to. But I think that was the reason why it's not easy to get to is because that's the bathroom that was there when the theater was built in, like, 1920 or 1900.
That's true. That's true. But, like, you haven't worked at the Amsterdam yet, huh? Our new Amsterdam.
No, I haven't.
They have, a lot of these theaters, too, not just that one, but a lot of these theaters have, like, those lounges. The, like, downstairs mm-hmm. lounges
yeah.
and stuff.
Those yeah,
were
yeah.
just those were just the men's lounge. And there was, like, bathrooms down there and a bar and, like, a smoking area. And for some reason...
The men's lounge?
Yeah, uh-huh. For some reason, like, women... Like, it's the same at the Lyceum, where we saw The Play That Goes Wrong and Be More uh-huh. Chill is now. That downstairs area was just, like, the men's lounge.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, like...
What?
And I used to think, oh, well, maybe the shows were just shorter so people didn't have to go to the bathroom. But then, like, no, because they were all, like, Faust or, like, Shakespeare, where they're super long. So I don't know, maybe they did longer intermissions or... I don't know.
Well, you know my rule of thumb during a show. If I gotta go and it's really bad, you go a little bit, let it dry. Go a little bit, let it dry. Mm. Work 60% of the time, every time.
And you can hardly smell it.
So, speaking of going to the bathroom, what do you want to talk about today in terms of food?
I want to talk about the best theme park food.
Ooh, all right. So, this is a segment of the show that we like to call...
Veti Veti. No friends.
Fatty, fatty, no friends.
All right, so I have TravelChannel.com's top 10... foods you got to try at theme parks.
Oh God, I love theme park food. I'm so on fire for this Fatty Fatty No Friends right now.
Yeah,
I'm here for it.
We can riff off of this too because it's a short list. The first one, and I've not been to this theme park, but it's Knott's Berry Farm.
Okay, that's the one down in SoCal, right?
Mm-hmm. And I believe it has like a Peanuts gang character theme to it.
Okay,
in a lot of ways. So anyway. The first is on the list is the Boysenberry Icy. You can't go to Knott's Berry Farm and not try something with boysenberry, which makes sense because it's a berry farm. One of the best ways to enjoy the fruit and cool off from the summer sun is this frosty treat.
That sounds really, really refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Legoland, Florida and California has Granny's Apple Fries. A park original, these Granny Smith apple fries are dusted with cinnamon and sugar and come with whipped cream dipping sauce.
That sounds good. One of my favorite things to do over the summer is bake apple pie. Or any pie, really, but I love baking apple pie. I'm pretty good at it, too.
Yeah, I like when you put the little nipples on it.
When I bake pies, just so everybody out there knows, I put little nipples on the... I roll out these little balls, and I put them on top of the pie. And That's how I know if the crust is cooked all the way through. And also it's a little, then you can eat the little nipple.
Yeah. And it also kind of probably helps the, what's it called, the lattice work stay separated.
Oh, yeah, that's it too. Yeah, I put it all in between the squares of the lattice so it stays where it's supposed to be.
Number three, Disney World Magic Kingdom and Disneyland, Dole Whip.
I was going to bring up a Dole Whip. Yeah, I love a Dole Whip.
The Dole Whip is so good.
They're expensive, though. Like, it's not a lot of ice cream or whatever it is. It's not a lot of whip for how much you pay.
True. This light, refreshing treat is really just pineapple soft serve, and it's okay for park goers with dairy allergies. Up the ante with a Dole Whip float, a cup of pineapple juice topped with frothy frozen goodness.
Froth? I've had one of those. They're real good. Real good.
I really hate the word frothy, but I respect
froth. Froth.
Gross.
Now watch me Dole Whip. Now watch me nay nay.
Solid.
Thank you.
Coney Island. Which I still haven't been to. What a fool. I need to go.
Same.
Nathan's...
Drive myself to Coney Island to have myself a dog.
Yeah, which brings us to what the treat is, which is Nathan's famous hot dogs.
What
began as a nickel hot dog stand in 1916 is now a household name. Thanks to Wait.
Can we cue the old-timey music while you read this?
Yeah.
Okay. Cue the old-timey music.
What began as a nickel hot dog stand in 1916 is now a household name, thanks to the famous hot dog eating contest. But the original stand is still in business, and visiting this institution should be on every Coney Island bucket list.
It's like something out of a Ken Burns film.
Yeah.
A Ken Burns documentary.
Yeah, it's just like one picture that slowly gets zoomed into while you hear that, while you hear that narration.
And then the narrations are always done by, like, some famous person, and you're like, wait, I know this voice. I know that this person who's doing, like, Ulysses S. Grant's voice is like, oh, that's Tom Hanks.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Ulysses S. Grant.
All right. Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
I love doing a southern gentleman accent. And yeah. One of my favorite things to say would be like, I say, I do declare I would love to trouble you for one of your fine Dole Whips, yeah. Miss Johnson.
Yes, yes, that's very The Office.
Everything has to be referred to as fine.
I love it. Yeah, I do declare. I love the way Andy on The Office says, you gotta talk like you got molasses dripping out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Such an astute observation.
Yeah, it really is. All right. It's astute as fuck.
It's astute as F. Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Butterbeer. Frozen, iced, and now hot. However you take it, ordering a mug of this creamy, sugary butterscotch overload will take you into the pages of J.K. Rowling's Wizard Universe. They don't really say what it is, but I always imagine it's like cream soda with butter in it. At least
now,
when I read the books, that's what I thought.
As we've mentioned before on this podcast, I don't read, and I've never read Harry Potter. So what is Butterbeer? Is it an... It's obviously not an alcoholic drink.
No. Although, can I reread it?
Yeah. Should we cue some wizard music?
Yeah, we should put the Harry Potter theme in.
Okay,
I'm just realizing I should read these all in, like, a certain documentary voice.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Okay, cool. You go ahead. Okay, so cue the wizard music.
Frozen, iced... and now hot. However you take it, ordering a mug of this creamy, sugary butterscotch overload will take you into the pages of J.K. Rowling's Wizarding Universe.
Ooh. Okay, what's next? Now I'm all about these themes here.
Yeah. Dollywood. Fresh-baked cinnamon bread.
Okay, so for Dollywood, are we thinking actual
dun,
Dollywood?
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, Dolly Parton. Okay.
That's what Dollywood is. It's the Dolly Parton theme
park.
Oh,
I'm thinking... I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Bollywood.
No, Dollywood.
Dolly... Wait. Dolly Parton has her own theme park?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, what, should we cue 9 to 5?
Yeah.
You smell that mouth-watering aroma as soon as you walk into the park. Find this staple at the Grist Mill. The first fully operating grist mill built in the state of Tennessee in more than 100 years.
Very good. Okay, what's next?
Cedar Point. Cheese on a stick.
Oh, okay, cheese on a stick. I'm thinking cheese on a stick. I'm thinking maybe some more.
That's what
redneck.
I was like. either that or like a sort of Wisconsin accent. The signature snack is less of a mozzarella stick and more of a giant corn dog with a hunk of molten cheese in the middle, don't you know? Don't you think about the calories in this one now?
That's good. I don't have music for that, but that's good.
That sounds delicious, by the way. It sounds like a cheese stick from a hot dog on a stick, but with mozzarella on the inside.
God, I love melted cheese, man.
Here we go. Silver Dollar City ginger molasses cookies.
Okay, so now you're a Southern gentleman again.
Yeah. Should we do something Southern, or should we do the As Told by Ginger theme song?
Somebody once told me
that
Silver Dollar City has the best cookies.
Okay.
Wait, why? Wait, I'm sorry. Why As Told by Ginger?
Because it's a ginger molasses cookie.
Oh my God, that's so dumb.
These snacks have become a fan favorite during the holiday season. Find them in the park at Ava and Delilah's Bakery.
Ava and Delilah's. I love Delilah on the radio. You ever listen to Delilah?
Delilah.
Like, yeah, I love Delilah. It always reminds me of Christmas.
I bet she would be such a great grandma.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, she's so soothing. Okay, what's next?
The smoked turkey leg from Magic Kingdom and Disneyland.
Okay, smoked turkey leg. Okay, so...
This one's got to be like Walt Disney documentary, right?
Either that or some Renaissance music.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, tell me about the turkey leg. Cue music.
One of the most iconic Disney bites. This Renaissance-type snack is giant. And you can find it in multiple snack carts and quick service spots throughout the park.
I love the turkey leg, by the way. Have you ever had one?
I think I've had a bite of one, but I've never... I don't know. I'm not Fred Flintstone.
I am, and I've had a whole one, and I am proud of it. I ate it with some mustard on it.
Some mustard on to it.
I'll put some mustard on to it. Mm-hmm.
Walt Disney World and Disneyland, Mickey Waffle.
Okay, now we've got some Disney music.
Oh, there's no Disney food more Instagrammable than a Mickey Mouse waffle. And there's nothing like that first breakfast in the park that says vacation time.
Yahoo-wee! Wow, that was such a bad goofy laugh.
I have to agree that Mickey Waffle is very Instagrammable, but it's just a waffle.
Yeah, you know, I'm not huge on a lot of Disneyland's food. I love the Dole Whip and the turkey leg, but like I don't like their pretzels very much. I don't like the pretzel cheese, and it's so expensive.
Yeah, that didn't make the guy. So that was the list.
Good list. Solid.
Yeah, solid list.
Solid.
I haven't had all of them, but you know, I haven't been to like too many different theme parks, to be honest. I pretty much stick to Disneyland.
I do. Well, I tried going to Great America once in California, and it was nasty, man. It really made me appreciate Disneyland. You know what the best theme park I've ever been to is? Partially because of the food, and I can't believe that it's not on this list.
Huh.
Hershey Park.
Oh, you know, I've never been to Hershey Park.
Dude, Hershey Park is so good. And the cool thing about it is, okay, it's got tons of roller coasters and fun rides, more than like any theme park I've been to. Uh-huh. And when I was there, it was at Christmas time. And so they even had like half the rides shut down for some reason, and it was still awesome. And all the food there, it's Hershey's. So you could just go to the gas station across the street and get it, which means that it's all affordable. You could get like a cup of hot chocolate for like $2 or $3.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. And they've got, like, cupcakes and shit. Like, Hershey Park for the win, in my opinion.
I'm a little surprised that Disneyland's churros didn't make it onto the list.
Yeah, I do like those churros.
Oh, you know what Disneyland has that is so good? I don't know how well known it is that they have this, but over...
Magic?
They do have Magic. Over by where the, like, fantasy fanfare show is that... Well, we've had some friends do where they do like, it's like a little stage show where they do, I think they do like Frozen and Beauty and the Beast and Rapunzel.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, there's a little cart across from it, and it is themed.
You talk about this all the time.
It's the well, I haven't talked about it on the show yet, though. So
right,
it's themed like Belle's dad from Beauty and the Beast's like contraption that he makes to take to the fire.
Yeah,
and it's like a bagel twist type thing. It's kind of like. They have different kinds. They have sweet ones, but I like the garlic parmesan one. It's like a big fucking breadstick.
Oh,
and you can get some cheese.
Ranch.
They don't. I don't know if they have ranch, but they do give you some cheese you can dip into it. It's so... Oh, God, my mouth is watering right now.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Do you remember when Disneyland had McDonald's fries, by the way?
I do, the Westward Ho. There was... There was a little like covered wagon where you could get fries, and it I don't remember what it was actually called, but it had a sign that said Westward Ho. And they were good because they were all supersized, and they were, like, a little extra salty.
Oh, yeah, it was good. I love that. I wonder why they stopped doing that.
Because apparently Walt Disney never wanted to partner with McDonald's, though McDonald's always wanted to partner with them for the theme parks. And then after he died, I don't remember. This might be wrong, and Disneyland people are going to be freaking out. But I believe when Roy took over, or whoever took over next, was like, nah, we're going to do McDonald's. And then after he was out of there and someone new came in, they were like, out with the McDonald's. Walt wouldn't have wanted this.
The coffee shop on Main Street used to give, when you enter the park, there's a coffee shop on the right-hand side.
Yes, now it's a Starbucks.
Yes, and my problem with that is it used to be you'd get a cup of coffee, and if you kept your receipt, free refills all day.
Were they
and
free? I thought they were like a quarter or something.
No,
like
they were no, they were free.
Oh, yes.
And it's been like that since the park opened.
Wow.
And just recently they turned it into a freaking Starbucks. And I love Starbucks. I love me some bucks. But I was like, what? That was such a cool thing in Disneyland that like not everybody knew about. And I just thought that kind of, I got to say, Disneyland changed a lot in my opinion once that happened. It really affected me.
You know what? I usually eat the same things at Disneyland because I like to stick with what I like. And I'm only going to talk about this for a little bit longer. Like, I love the Monte Cristo from Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
The best one, in my opinion. You can get it at the Blue Bayou, and you can also get it at the little sit-down restaurant that's across from it there in Nolan Square.
Yeah.
They have really good palm frites there. And you can dip in some sort of a spicy mayo ranch type thing. And also their beignets. But so I usually stick to my regular things. But I always walk by the bakeries there in Main Street USA, and they all their confections always look so good, but I never try any of them.
I've had them, and they're good. I like those. I like those. The thing about it is it's all the same confections in every spot. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
You could either go into the bakery and buy it, or you could buy it like from the cart in the street or at the Jolly Holiday.
That's what I'm talking about, though, the Jolly Holiday. When I walk past it, I'm like, oh, look at all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good, but you can get it at any spot. I think it'd be really cool if it was, like, unique to each little location.
That's true. Do you remember... Disneyland also has, like, the best corn dogs.
Yeah, they do have good corn dogs. Yeah, they do. They do have really good corn dogs.
And they used to have that soft serve, and you could get it swirled with, like, a fruit, and it was so good.
Felicia, have you ever dipped a corn dog in ranch dressing?
No, I don't know why, though. What's wrong with me? Probably because ranch dressing's not often offered at corn dog locations.
Yeah, it's true, but I think that'd make a good combination. Some ranch. I gotta say, I'm still upset by the fact that ranch dressing is not appreciated over here on the East Coast like it should be.
Yeah, it isn't. It's true.
If you go to any restaurant here and you ask for ranch dressing, at least in New York City, they'll give you like a Hidden Valley type thing.
They haven't really caught on to the game yet.
Yeah. Fucking step it up, you guys.
Fucking step it up. One last thing I'll say is, do you remember in 1997 when we went to Disneyland and we were meeting the Bjorks there, but the first evening we were just there with our parents and we had a really great time and we went to the Carnation stage, which I believe is gone now, and there's some dancing and Mom and Dad each got us an ice cream cone and it was a huge ball of ice cream atop a cone. And each of us individually knocked our ice cream off the cone and onto the ground.
Sorry!
I think they gave us replacements, though. But, yeah, what
sure
you going to do?
Yeah.
I'm sure kids do that all the time.
Yeah,
it's so top-heavy.
Yeah, it's so... And you don't know. Like, you don't know that you can't just lick it as hard as you can. That's what she said.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, you hear that? That means it's time to go in.
Oh, that's the tone.
It's time to take your seats, everyone. The show's about to begin again.
I say, I do declare, ladies and gentlemen, I do require that you extricate yourself from the men's lounge and resume your seats so that the show may continue. I ask that you have a fine rest of your evening.
Permanecer en sentados, por favor.
All right. Here we are. All right.
I have to tell you something extraordinarily embarrassing that happened to me last night.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Debbie Vanderford came to see the show last night.
Aw, hey, Debbie.
Catherine and Megan's mom, yeah. And so I got to see her for a sec before the show, and I was like, hey, make sure you hang out after. I want to say hi. And she was like, okay, great. So I saw her over talking to our stage manager, Colleen, and some other woman from American River. And so I went over there, and she was talking, so I was waiting, and I just kind of put my hand on her shoulder and, like, was gently rubbing it. And then she turned around and it fucking wasn't her.
Oh, what?
I was rubbing some stranger's shoulder and back lovingly.
What did you say?
Well, my face turned red and mortified as my stage manager and the other woman started laughing. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I thought you were my friend. I'm so incredibly sorry. And then we all laughed, and I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Well, thank you for coming to the show and suffering my awkwardness.
Oh, my God.
And then I had to go and tell everybody that I knew.
I remember once as a kid, I was in like a Borders or something with mom, and mom sort of walked away. And then the next thing I knew, I was just hugging this leg that I thought was mom's. Like, just kind of – she was like looking at these books, and I was just hugging this leg like – just like little kids do. I don't know. They hang on their parents. And then the woman's leg felt like mom's leg. And then I look up and sure enough, not my mom.
Yeah. When a kid does it, it's cute. When it's a 30-year-old man, it's like, oh,
it's like, whoa, freak.
Anyway.
Okay. Good story. So, since we're not doing the interview today, we're able to do a lot of segments that we haven't done in a while. And I have really missed this one. So we're bringing it back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now time for
New York is a great big pile of stink.
Now, the thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about today on New York is a great big pile of stink is litterbugs.
Litterbugs.
Litterbugs, people who fucking litter in the streets.
Like bugs.
Now, this is obviously a thing that's, like, not, everybody litters everywhere, but the thing that makes me so crazy about it in New York City is there's a garbage can on every freaking corner.
Yeah, there's a lot of garbage cans. I keep there's expecting literally no them in excuse. California, and they're not here.
Well, because people don't walk around as much, I guess. I don't know, downtown Sacramento there should be.
I mean, there's some, just not nearly as many. There's literally, like, on every corner in New York, there's a garbage can.
There's literally no excuse, and yet I constantly see it. And I gotta say, I see it up here, uptown, in our neighborhood more often. People will, like, unwrap their, I don't know, their McDonald's or, you know, whatever, their bodega sandwich, and literally just throw their garbage on the ground.
Yeah, we're right by the river. What are you doing?
Yeah, throw it in the river. Oh, that's not what you meant.
I meant it could blow to the river because it's the wind.
Well, I saw a guy the other day leave his apartment. So his apartment, I was walking up Broadway, and this guy left his apartment, and he walked out the door, and his apartment is right in front of the bus stop, and a bus pulled up, and he set his cup down. He had a cup full of liquid, like it was like a McDonald's cup or whatever, and he just set it down on the stoop and then ran on the bus.
Oh, someone else will clean it up.
Yeah, well, is there not like a garbage can where you're going? Like, like, hold on to it.
You don't want to finish your drink?
But even if it wasn't full, like, you can't wait? You'd rather live in garbage?
That's the biggest thing about New York is a great big pile of stink, is, like, most of these things are preventable if you just don't be a gross garbage person.
Yeah, just don't be a dick. Like, I don't know,
don't
throw your garbage.
Don't be a fucking dump truck.
Quit acting like a frickin' dump truck. I don't know. I mean, it's like, okay, well, I guess we'll all just continue to live in filth. You know what I mean? Because you have no respect for where you live and where you, you know, it's bad enough that there's garbage on the sidewalk every day anyway, because that's the solution here for taking out the garbage, is just to throw it on the sidewalk until the garbage men come and pick it up. But then you've got loose garbage up and down the streets because people can't be bothered to hold on to it for another few minutes to throw it away.
You know what is an interesting form of littering?
What?
The Modelo cans that somehow gather in our entryway to our apartment building.
You know what? I was thinking about that. When I walk in the building and on the... So when you walk into our apartment building, if you look to your right, there are two big windows in the, like... What, I don't know. What would you call
it? It's sort of like a lobby with no furniture.
Yeah. Well, actually, now there's a big fake tree there.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody put a big fake tree there in the lobby.
Oh.
It's just like the kind of like fake tree that like you would see at like a church.
Like a ficus?
Yeah, it's like a ficus, yeah.
So that's see if there. We can get a big old cheap like throw rug or something.
Yeah. And then it'll be like we're at church. But there's always one single Modelo can there in the
at least
window.
One. Sometimes there's two or three.
You know what else has been happening in our building? Somebody is putting their bags of garbage, like if they go to a bodega and like finish what they're eating, or even it seems like sometimes when they take out like, I don't know, the waste bin in their room, they like tie it up in the plastic bag and set it in front of our door.
Our door?
Like our door, or like on our landing here on the second floor. Maybe they do it to everybody in the apartment, I don't know. But I see these tied up plastic bags in front of the doors, in front of our door, in front of the people across from us, next to us. They just like pick a random like door and put it on the mat, on the welcome mat, and like leave it there.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, I swear to God, they just leave it there. And obviously I'm really annoyed by it, but I'm also talking about it on my podcast, which I feel like is exactly the reaction they're hoping for.
What? What are they doing?
Like, they've fully gotten a rise out of me.
Are they just trying to get somebody else to take their trash out? Or are you sure it's not somebody in there who's like, oh, I need to remember to take this out, so I'm going to put it on our doorstep?
No, because they put it on our doorstep.
Queer.
Yeah. I see it like almost every day. Somebody's put their garbage.
Weird.
I think they just think it's funny.
What do you do with it?
Well, I throw it away.
You're letting them win.
I'm not just going to... What else? Just leave it there or put it in front of somebody else's door?
I don't know. I really don't know what the solution is.
I just throw it away. There's no other choice. I don't bring it into my apartment.
So we can't just put it on theirs.
And I don't bring it into my apartment because there could be anthrax in it.
Anthrax or bugs or baby poop or money.
Because sometimes it's like something from McDonald's or a bodega, but then sometimes it's a full-on plastic bag.
Yeah, somebody's getting you to take their trash out for them.
Well, I'm kind of used to it.
And they're
going to
keep coming to you because you keep doing it.
Well, I'm not just going to leave it. Okay, but the only other... option is to just leave it there and step over it every time I leave the apartment.
Yeah, I guess.
What do? You just throw it away. You just let the city F you in the A.
Never were letters so true.
Yeah, you just freaking take it. I don't know. I think that you can tell a lot about a person based on the way they drive and based on the way that they treat serving staff at restaurants, and also if they're litter bugs. If you throw garbage on the ground,
then
like in like nature, like you're
and
an
you're
asshole.
Probably garbage yourself.
Yeah, and you like living in garbage.
Like Oscar the Grouch.
I was at a McDonald's once with Dad when I was a kid, and there was this stupid idiot a-hole sitting on his motorcycle, and he had gotten a couple of cheeseburgers, and I watched him unwrap the burger and just throw the paper on the ground.
Unbelievable.
I don't get it.
I've heard of this happening, though I don't think I've ever seen it. Somebody throwing their entire fast food bag out the window. They finish eating and they just... Like, how do you even, like, in good conscience... Like, how do you do that?
I like those videos where people litter... On YouTube, where people, like, litter out of their car. And then somebody else comes up to them and dumps the litter back into their car.
Oh, that's great.
Or dumps a waste bin into their car.
No,
have you seen those?
That sounds great.
Yeah, they'll like take a garbage can, or like there's one of there's a guy who's sweeping the street and he sees somebody throw his paper bag. He's in like a Maserati or something like that, some nice car, and this douchebag throws his garbage onto the street, and the guy who's cleaning the street sweeps his garbage up and then dumps the entire you know, he had one of those like square things that the dustpan things. Yeah, he dumped the whole thing into this guy's car.
Idiot.
Yeah. Anyway. So I hate that, but I just notice it so much more in New York. Like, you see people who leave garbage on the subway and stuff like that, and it's just like, this is just why this it's always going to be... There's always just going to be a certain level of filth here that you just inevitably have to get used to.
Yep.
Anyway, that's all I got about that.
Well, this has been a riveting episode of Long Enough.
No, it hasn't. It's actually been New York is a great big pile of stink.
All right. So while we've been recording this episode, we just got another bonus shout out from my good friend Joelle. And
wait, is she your friend or is she your assistant stage manager?
Oh, well, she's both, Alex. Joelle Robinson.
Excuse me. Stage manageress.
In the last episode, I was listening to it, and I realized as I was doing her shout-out, I started to say she was my friend, and then for some reason switched to explaining that she is the assistant stage manager for Disaster. She is both, but she just tagged us in a post. She's listening to it, and she said that it's okay for me to call her a friend. So there she is. Thank you, Joelle, for the bonus shout-out. You are, in fact, our friend. I can't wait to hear from you about the part where we mention Jane and then 5 seconds later start talking about penises. Okay. Also, I just got some mail.
Wait. What was the shout out? Tell it. That was the whole fucking point of you bringing it up.
I just said what it was.
About Mrs. Doubtfire?
That wasn't a shout out. That I just saw on Instagram when I opened my Instagram.
Oh, I thought that she had also sent you that.
No.
Well, what was the share that we just got on Instagram?
That.
Oh, that was that. To Nobody's in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we share those things when somebody sends us a link like that.
I just said what it was. It was her saying that it's... Oh, my fucking God, Alex. Travel.
Whoa, I'll thank you to not take the Lord's name in vain.
It wasn't in vain. It was very much needed.
Okay.
Okay, so I just got some mail. God, nice, nice. Vibe in here now, guys. First is both of these shirts are from Swish Embassy, which I
mail
love.
Mail time!
This is my tank.
It says Daddy.
In the Barbie font.
That's oddly specific. Why?
Because it's cute. I like it. I'm a junior daddy. I'm a daddy in training. Not a sugar daddy because I'm poor.
You have to ask, Alex, then you don't get it.
Here's my second shirt.
Okay. This is a blue shirt with Mary Poppins. What is she doing? Blowing her nose on it? Looks like she's...
Snorting something?
She's doing poppers. The shirt's called Mary Poppers.
Also, oddly specific, Mary Poppers. What are poppers?
I don't know.
I think they're poor people, right?
Liar.
Poppers? Isn't a popper a homeless person?
Anyway, yeah, so I'm very excited about that. I think they're very cute, and I can't wait. I'm glad
nice.
They're here.
That's fun. What do you want to talk about next? What do you got?
Let's talk about Broadway. Theaters.
Oh, yeah. I like this segment. Okay, so what
I like all
what's
our segments.
The theater?
So today we have the Al Hirschfeld Theater.
Ah, Alex Hirschfeld.
The Al Hirschfeld... The Al Hirschfeld Theater. It's... Oh,
Jesus,
God, someone's
hold,
here.
Oh, please hold. Please
that
hold.
Sound means we have a guest. Okay, that's either Aaron's girlfriend, Timmy, or Rhett Guter, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago. Okay, what is... tell me about the Alex Hirschfeld Theater.
So the Al Hirschfeld Theater is at 302 West 45th Street there in New York. It's owned by Drew Jamson. It's part of the Drew Jamson Theaters.
Which means that if you work there, you have to wear all black.
If you work for our company, yeah. And it seats 1,424 people.
Now, is that bigger for a Broadway house?
I think it's about in the middle.
It's mid-sized.
Yeah, it's about in the middle. All right. So it originally opened November 11th, 1924.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Rhett. Rhett's here. Hey, Rhett.
Hey, Rhett.
You
could have made $10 off.
Oh, damn it. What did you bring me?
Whatever that fucking place is called.
Oh, you brought free Jolitos?
Yeah.
Oh, Rhett brought free Jolitos, best Mexican food in New York City.
Ooh, yum. So, nice. It was
designed... What a guy. Okay, we're talking about Broadway theaters, so go ahead, Tim.
It was designed by architect G. Albert Landsberg for vaudeville back in the original day, and it was originally named the Martin Beck Theater.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
The Martin Beck Theater. I'm sorry. We're recording a podcast over here. Can you guys shut up?
Tim is actually working in California lately.
Just having a full-on conversation back here, and we're recording a podcast. And now Rhett's rubbing his nipples.
It's a really neat architecture, and apparently it is a Byzantine and Moorish architectural style, which I didn't know was a thing. But yeah, it looks like that, and it's really cool. Let's see. I guess we'll go into... box office record. Kinky Boots achieved the box office record for the Al Hirschfeld Theater. The production grossed $2,247,240 over 9 performances for the weekend of December 29th, 2013.
$2 million for 9 shows?
What?
Yep. $2,247,240. $2,247,240 over the 9 performances of the week ending December 29th. So that was the box office record for the Al Hirschfeld. So it was renamed the Al Hirschfeld Theater, opened June 23rd, 2003 with that name.
What was the first show that opened there?
Some notable productions. The first one that opened as Al Hirschfeld or just in general?
Just in general.
Well,
the first
it's
musical.
Like,
so.
Probably some vaudeville.
No, I know. It's the first like actual book musical.
1934, it had Pirates of Penzance, HMS Pinafore, and The Mikado.
Oh, sweet. So all of the Gilbert and Sullivan. Yeah.
Yeah. 1934 had Romeo and Juliet, which is kind of
cool.
Neat. 36 and 39 was Seasons of Gilbert and Sullivan. So I guess they did a lot of that there.
Seasons of Gilbert and Sullivan.
On the Town opened there in 1945.
It was a rent joke.
The next year was The Iceman Cometh.
Okay. Why don't you give me like top 10?
I'm going to give you some of the real good ones because I listened to the last ones and it was like, yeah, everything.
It's like, all right already.
1953, the original production of The Crucible.
Cool.
Yeah. A lot of these places, like Candide played there too. It seems like some of these shows played like in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. Orpheus Descending, Bye Bye Birdie, Oliver in 1965.
Nice. Oh, cool.
So apparently Man of La Mancha ran there, but it transferred from another theater, which is popular. Bent opened in 1979 there.
Ooh.
I don't know that one.
It's a really
gay
great
people.
Play. It's about gay people in the Holocaust.
In the Holocaust.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
As dark as it gets.
Yeah, that's pretty dark.
Take Me Along in 1985, which featured in its ensemble Ed Brazo, ran for like a week. Into the Woods, 1987.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I'm doing that. Getting ready to do that.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, you are going to go do that. Where are you going to do that?
Hudson Valley Shakespeare.
With Miss Jen Thompson.
Yeah, we had meetings all day today about it.
Oh, I love that woman. Jen Thompson is one of the most incredible people and directors I know.
Who are you playing? Saying.
The Wolf. And I'm choreographing it. That's why we're in pre-pro.
Oh, great. That's cool.
Are you gonna have big giant balls like you did on Broadway?
I can only hope.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Just to give you guys at home a visual, the PBS specials of Into the Woods with Bernadette Peters, Joanna Gleason, and all those kids, that is the one at the Al Hirschfeld Theater. That's the Al Hirschfeld Theater.
Cool.
Annie in 1987.
The one where he had big balls.
The one where he had big balls.
Yeah.
98, Sound of Music. 99, Kiss Me Kate. Another Man of La Mancha in 2002. A lot of revivals. Looks like Wonderful Town in 03, 05, Sweet Charity. And then The Wedding Singer in 06.
Wait, the original Annie?
No, this is the 1997 one.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Because Jen Thompson was in the original Annie.
Yeah, I was going to.
07, Curtains. 09, The Revival of Hair. Elf in 2010. How to Succeed. I am assuming the Daniel Radcliffe / Darren Criss one in 11. And then Elf came back in 2012, probably for Christmas. And then Kinky Boots in 2013, and it's been Kinky Boots ever since. And now
Domination.
It is, yeah.
Moulin Rouge.
For 6 years, and now Moulin Rouge.
Gitchy, gitchy, yaya, ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's all I have to say about that.
All right. Thanks for the highlight there, Tim.
You're welcome.
I've never been in that theater, so I'm excited to go see Moulin Rouge.
Totes. Totes McGoats.
You never saw Kinky Boots?
No, I've never seen Kinky Boots.
Damn. Same.
Yeah. That's just a little gay for me. I don't know.
Whoa. Ooh. I saw it twice. Just what does that say about me?
Wow. Did you like it?
I did. I saw it in previews, actually. A friend of mine from back home in St. George, Utah worked on the makeup.
Oh, cool.
And then I had friends in it, in and out. A good friend of mine, Delaney Westfall, was in it.
Oh, okay.
Lauren for a bit. And Fred Odgard. And I did West Side Story, and he was in it till it closed.
Oh, cool.
And he's going, and he's in Moulin Rouge, so he's right back where
how weird
he
would
was.
That be?
Good for him.
Good for him.
Awesome.
Jesus. Cool.
He didn't even get kicked out. Well, a couple months, go down to Boston, do a little tryout.
Yeah.
But no big deal.
Well, thanks for the theater highlight there, Tim.
You're welcome.
Let's move on.
All right.
Hey, I have an idea.
What's that?
Let's play a game.
Do you even know what you're referring to when you do that?
Yeah. Yes. There was a home video that we took.
Oh my God, you do
Tim
know
and I.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. This might be shocking to a lot of you, but Tim and I used to pretend like we had a radio show when we were kids. And one of the other things we would do is we had a video camera. We'd always make stupid home videos.
So this was last week?
This. Not a thing has changed.
Sorry. That was just like a underhand pitch there.
But we were making this stupid video, and I ran up to the camera, and I was like, hey, guys, I have an idea. Let's play a game. And then, like, how would you explain the physicality that accompanied that?
You free-willied from out of frame into frame and then back out of frame again.
Yeah, that's what I did. I free-willied.
I've seen you free-willy before.
Shh, not in front of the audience.
Oh, okay, sorry. Different thing.
So, anyway, utter nonsense. Let's do it.
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Utter nonsense. So, Rhett, would you be willing to play some utter nonsense with us today?
I feel put on the spot here, but okay.
That's what we do best, is put people on the spot. So, the name of the game
is... Put him on the spot. And that was a loose Hamilton reference.
Meet outside. Mm. I got it, though. I'm here for it. Uh-huh. Isn't that such a stupid thing to say, by the way? I'm here for it. Oh, I'm here for it. I'm totally here for it.
I mean, there's all kinds of phrases these days that I just...
We stand that.
Some of these phrases are dumb as fuck.
But they're so fun to make fun of that you end up making fun of it. And then a couple weeks later, you're like, no, I'm not. I've lost all irony when I say it. Right, what's happening to me? Right. I'm turning into one of them.
Yeah, I've started calling things fire now. I used to say it just to make fun of people. Yeah,
I used to say af ironically, and now I have to say asaf because now I just say af. So asaf is funny because it's repetitive. Yeah.
What was the other thing that I started? You know what I heard Dad say? What Dad still says?
Tight.
Hecka.
No.
Hecka.
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 Yeah.
Our 60-year-old dad says hecka.
That's.
He used to tease us about saying it, but now he says he's fallen victim to a. He's fallen victim to it. Now I'm judging my grammar.
He's fallen. What do you mean you can't? What? Just say it.
He's fallen victim to it. That's what it is. Well, I started questioning the grammar when I was halfway through saying
the
sentence.
You know what else I've got to gripe about real fast? About Dad having fallen victim to? Why are you rolling your eyes at me?
Huh? Because I thought you were going to make fun of me.
No. What? No. I would never make fun of you.
Never.
He used to always give me shit about wearing no-show socks, and now he wears no-show socks.
Explain yourself, Dad. I expect a text message.
Yes.
I love that he texts us as he's listening.
Yeah, I know. I love it. He listens at the gym. I love that he texts me pictures of his food.
Oh, I love that too.
Okay.
He doesn't do that with me. Okay. Well, how do we play this game?
I'm a little dialected out, so why don't you two play?
Oh, okay.
Oh.
All right. Wow. Okay. All right. So the name
I've been doing Cockney so much this week that it's starting to get weird.
You've had so much Cockney in your mouth this week?
Yeah. Penis so much joke. Cockney.
Okay, so the name of the game is Utter Nonsense, and what happens is each of us picks two cards. One card has an accent or affectation. The other card is a phrase. The player has to read the phrase in the accent, and the other player has to guess what the accent or affectation is.
Racist.
And I'm going to give you...
Sounds racist jokes are coming. Yes?
And you haven't played this yet, so I'm going to give you a little tip, a little hack.
Okay, give me
sometimes
some
it's vague,
Stuart hacks.
And sometimes it's specific, and you never know which.
Yeah. And
the accent is? Or the affectation?
The affectation.
Say?
Yeah, it might be like an old angry man, or it might be Mexican.
So
you never know if it's going to be general or specific. Because you might be like, old man. And it's like, well, no, it's an angry old man.
Oh, angry
right,
old
right.
man.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm ready.
So we'll see.
I'm not afraid.
I'll go first.
Okay. I just don't.
Okay, I've got my affectation. Okay. And now I have my, okay.
Are we both guessing?
No, you're all right. You're guessing.
All right.
Even though women's brains are small, your sister Deborah is pretty sharp.
You're a nerd?
I'm a nerd!
Oh, wow.
Nerd. Yeah. Nerds. Isn't that fun?
Good. So the sentence itself has nothing to do with the affectation.
Oh, no,
obviously.
The sentence is utter nonsense.
It's just
no,
utter,
you draw,
utter
you draw
nonsense.
It out of a deck.
All right.
Yeah. So that was mine. Isn't this fun? Oh, we're having a
wow.
good time.
Okay.
Rhett has his affectation.
No.
Put the other one back, though.
That's not it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'll remember it.
This is not how the game is played.
Is he making those cards disappear?
He's
ready?
Just,
I have it.
Because he's magic.
He has magic.
I'm sorry.
Please stop talking to me. I just want a lampshade, not a relationship.
Oh, okay. And I'm getting...
Why do we always get doubles?
Is it? It's not Batman, is it?
It is. It's Batman.
Nice Batman.
We just did Batman last week.
I don't know how we got Batman because I could have sworn I took it out, but...
What?
Are we not playing with a full deck?
Do we need to
I'm never playing with a full deck, if you know what I mean.
Do we need to do it again?
No, you'll right. do another one. That was good. That was good.
All right.
It was still good. It was still fun. Okay, here's mine.
Okay.
It's just the same four cards over and over again.
I know. Oh, no, I cannot do Thespian one more time.
Just keep them out of the deck.
I am now. Oh, this is a... Okay, well, this is very... I don't know. This actually is a hard one.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
My favorite restaurant is the one that delivers to my couch.
Are you a ventriloquist?
It is, no.
You didn't lose. For those of you at home, Alex did that without moving his lips much.
Okay, let me do it one more time.
Okay.
Because you're watching my mouth, and that's important for this one, okay?
Okay.
My favorite restaurant is the one that delivers to my couch. What am I literally doing?
Talking out of the side of your mouth?
I am. So that would make me what?
A bullshit artist?
Do you give up?
Cigar smoker.
Nope. Less specific. you're cold. You're warmer.
Swindler.
A swindler is this.
Oh, shit.
Should I just tell you?
Sure.
A side mouth talker.
I would not have gotten that in
no,
a million
years. You would have never gotten that.
Glad you gave it to me. Cheers. Okay. What's this judge's choice shit?
That means you can do anything you want.
No,
the judge does.
We don't have a judge.
Do we just discard this thing?
God's judging.
Only Judy can judge me.
Do I do it? Or
do it. Yeah, make it up. Can you
just pick
can
one.
You just yes and?
Yes, I'm yes anding. I went to my computer camp to get over my motherboard issues.
Oh, you're giving me some Elvis vibes.
There it is.
Wow. God, we are so... That's impressive. That's impressive.
Thank you.
I don't know to be more... I don't know whether I'm more impressed with myself being so intuitive or with you for doing such a great Elvis impression.
I don't know if I'm more impressed with your observation about your impressiveness.
Mm.
Somebody who once played Elvis in Million Dollar Quartet told me that he never drank.
Elvis never drank?
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and call bullshit
on
that one.
That.
You know what was a thing though? Dean Martin, a big part of his act was to
be drunk.
Yeah, apple, but he didn't really drink a lot until his I think he lost his son. His son died, didn't he?
And then he started drinking.
It was a big part of his act was like
listen,
that he was always drunk.
Listen, you side mouth talker. Are we doing another one?
Yeah, I'm going to do another one.
All right, cool.
We've had this one, but okay. Then I'd have to talk to people. And
you're drunk.
Put on a bra. Yeah.
You put on a bra. That's good.
I'd go, but then I'd have to talk to people and put on a bra. In that order.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good one to be drunk for.
I actually have put on a bra while drunk.
All right.
Nobody wants
you're
to hear
out
about
of
that.
Toilet paper, so I made do with a fistful of Q-tips.
Are you Italian?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're having a good time.
Yay. Q-tips.
Okay, I think we got one. What Q-tips?
You're bad
that was
for
what
this.
It said.
Oh,
I can't.
Yeah. Okay, I've got mine. We are Anonymous. We are Legion. We are Virgins.
You're scared?
I'm scared. I was scared.
You were scared.
Yeah.
You were a frightened little shit.
Yeah, I was scared for that one.
It was good. All right, is that it?
I am thoroughly impressed with us. I really am.
I am thoroughly impressed. Except I didn't get side mouth talker.
Well, how is that even a thing? What is a side mouth talker? Is that actually a thing?
I think it's somebody
who talks out of the side of their mouth.
Yeah, haven't you ever heard the expression talking out of the other side of their mouth? I think it's like
the expression talking out of his asshole.
I thought it was maybe...
That would be a good card. An asshole talker.
Do you have a mint?
I would love to see you do that one, Alex.
Or some banana.
Oh, you're an asshole talker. You're talking out of your ass.
You're an asshole talker with a long history of breaking little farts like the one in me.
All right, Rhett, last one.
No, I don't want that one.
Okay. Draw from...
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, God. Okay,
you're
cool.
Never going to get this.
Nice fucking attitude.
I just tipped my... Uber driver, $20 to give Mr. Spicer a long job.
Okay, so I believe you're constipated.
Taking a shit.
They're pooping.
Pooping!
Pooping!
All right!
Bam.
All right.
Constipated. I try to make it not by being relieved at the end, you know?
Yeah, I definitely, I felt it getting pushed out of you.
There was tension and then release.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay, you were
like
giving me
all
fiber.
All good art.
You were giving me fiber.
Tension
and release.
Then release.
I like all the hills and valleys in that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Very specific.
Yeah, three-dimensional characters is my forte.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been utter nonsense. I love this game. I have so much fun with this.
I can tell. You're also always impressed with yourself on this.
Yeah. He never ceases to amaze him.
We get it right all the time.
All the time. You need more. You just need more yellow cards. You really don't need new white cards.
No. We're good on utter nonsense phrases, but yeah, we need more accents.
Do they sell that?
Probably. Like an expansion pack?
Does Utter Nonsense know that you're plugging their game every episode and they should probably just send you a free thing?
They really should.
I'll write them a note.
You'd be surprised at how close we've come to multiple sponsors.
How close you've come?
Yeah.
And then it just they don't come through in the end or what?
Yeah. Yeah. We've had a couple irons in the fire and just not panning out. So
I want Snack Crate.
Snack Crate? What is Snack Crate?
All
they
right.
just send you shit? Oh, okay, yeah.
We're not
going to
talk about it until they sponsor us.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, we'll call it a different name until we get a free refill. Package.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to call it Craps Nate.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Let's call it Talking Out of Your Ass.
Well, this has been another episode of Nobody's in New York, starring Tim Stewart and featuring Alex Stewart.
And featuring Rhett Guter and Aaron Craven.
That's right. Our special guests this week, our cameos. Mm-hmm. As always, we'd like to thank Mark Ferreira, our friend who gave us that first helping hand to get started here.
Love you, Mark. And we'd also like to give a big thank you to Ellen DeGeneres, who, as Timothy so eloquently put, is a comedian who is a lesbian.
We are also proud members of the Onstage Blog Network. Be sure to follow them on social media or check them out on the Onstage Network. No, excuse me. Be sure to check them out at theonstageblog.com.
You can also follow them on Instagram.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Nobody's in NY. And on Facebook, we are Nobody's in New York.
And I just want to say, actually, as we've been recording, we recorded this episode over 2 days, actually. But we've gotten about 4 shout-outs in the past couple days. So please keep them coming, you guys. Thank you for sharing us and for spreading the word. Our numbers are looking great, and we're thrilled. So thank you so much for hanging on through the ride.
And for those of you just starting, you won't hear this for a long time, but thanks for listening this far.
Final thoughts. What's your final thought?
My final thought is, whether the weather be hot or whether the weather be cold, I prefer iced coffee.
Me too. It will be 22 degrees outside, and I will literally still drink an iced coffee from Starbucks.
Yes.
Yes, with 2 pumps sugar-free vanilla. My final thought is I got to start watching Game of Thrones because apparently there's some crazy shit going on, and now this new thing has happened apparently. Apparently, this guy came up to me today, and I don't know if this is just the verbiage now, but I was at work, and this guy goes, I was working with somebody else, and he says to us, "Did you guys see the last episode?" Nobody had mentioned Game of Thrones. Nobody had mentioned Game of Thrones. It is just now referred to as the last episode. And I said, the last episode of what? And he goes, Thrones.
I would have been like, do you mean RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah, the last episode. So
apparently,
I got to start watching Thrones.
Apparently, there is not enough hours left to catch up on Game of Thrones before it ends.
There's not enough hours left, like, in the world?
Yeah. There's not enough hours left before the show ends to catch up.
Oh, I see what you mean. I see. Well, I keep telling people that I want to watch it. You know, I want to start catching up. But when I talk to people about it, they go, ugh, good luck. Like, well, how did you make it this far? Wouldn't I just be watching it the same?
Right. What, is it going to be shitty now? Does it not age well?
I guess
it doesn't keep.
I guess people are worried about spoilers, but I can't remember anybody's name anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Oh yeah, I mean,
someone could be like, well, you know, Tartaglian dies, and I'd be like, all right, not gonna remember that name tomorrow, so it doesn't really matter.
Yep, exactly. Lepiferous. Oh. Lepifer. There's a word in Mary Poppins I'm supposed to say that's not a real word, and it's really hard for me to remember it.
It sounds like a character from Game of Thrones, Lepiferous.
Yeah, that's what made me think of it.
Lepiferous kills Tartaglia.
Also, I'm not sure how to pronounce it because it's not a real word. Is it Lepiferous? Is it Lepiferous? Is it Lepiferous? Who knows?
Yeah. This has been the Nobody's in New York podcast.
Just remember, nobody's somebody to everybody.
And everybody's somebody to nobody.
That's all the time we have this week.
And now it's time to go.
That's good. That ended well.